For those of you I've not met, my name is Ollie Lansdowne. I work with students here at All Souls and across London. And the reason that I do that is because I think that the life and teaching of Jesus is frequently misunderstood, hugely underrated, and utterly revolutionary. And we'll be thinking a bit about that during our time together. There are two things that I love about working for a church here at the top of Regent Street. The Christmas lights and the protests. Christmas in the West End is utterly iconic, isn't it? Every shop has its own take on the Christmas spirit, a vast shimmer of stars across Selfridges, elves making merry outside Hamleys, an outburst of pre-Raphaelite mistletoe at Liberty's. But all of these become something of a sideshow when held beneath Regent Street's very own harking heavenly host. Spotlighted between the Georgian architecture and suspended high above the street, 15-foot angels with billowing 20-foot wings soar northwards, bursting with some urgent message of Christmas hope, twinkling and glittering as they fly. It's hard to make Louis V or Burberry look half-hearted, but somehow these angels in Regent Street do. I love Regent Street's Christmas lights, but I also really love the protests. See, for those who don't know, this street is kind of the number one location for all of the year's most attention-grabbing political demonstrations. They gather up the road at Regent's Park or the other way to Hyde Park, and then march past here to my right, the BBC, down Regent Street, through Piccadilly and Trafalgar, and then on to Downing Street and Parliament. And what that means is from my office at the top of the church, I get a front row seat for all of the issues that get people out of their beds, off Netflix, and onto the street. Extinction Rebellion and Black Lives Matter, Hong Kong and QAnon, Reclaim These Streets, Save Our Scene, Anti-Vax, and Hashtag Me Too. I love the Christmas lights, and I love the protests, and this got me thinking. I wonder whether the angels of Regent Street and the protesters of Regent Street actually might have more in common than it first appears. See, both angels and protesters, they want to grab your attention. And they want to grab your attention because they have an urgent message to deliver. And that message consists of darkness as well as light. It consists of judgment as well as hope. Darkness, because there is a problem that we need to acknowledge and we need to look that problem in the eye. And light. Light that exposes the problem and opens up a solution because the darkness cannot be allowed to win. Angels and protesters, judgment and hope, darkness and light. So, this Christmas, this evening, in solidarity with Regent Street's angels and its protesters, I want to ask you two questions. And having raised those two questions, I want to offer two responses from the story of Christmas. First question. What is humanity's biggest problem? Second question, who do you trust to deliver hope? If you're feeling brave, I'd invite you to post those two questions into the group chat and kick some answers about over mulled wine later on. First, what is humanity's biggest problem? What's the darkness that we need to acknowledge? What's the judgment that's coming our way? We could talk about COVID-19. Variants, restrictions, disinformation, and collateral damage. But we could also talk about the 45 million modern-day slaves, thousands of whom are within an hour's walk of where we're sitting. Or we could talk about the climate emergency that has been caused by those of us with the most power, but is affecting those with the least. We could talk about Israel-Palestine, or South Sudan, or North Korea. We could talk about misogyny, institutional racism, mental ill health, or sex trafficking. We could talk about family breakdowns, community breakdowns, or the rupturing of the whole fabric of our society because the world is big and it's full of problems. But to focus our attention on the biggest problem facing humanity, I want to suggest that we need to venture into a deeper darkness. The deeper darkness that binds all of these other problems together. Not darkness out there, but darkness in here. According to the Bible, there isn't a person on earth that isn't riddled with ignorance and negligence, envy and greed, selfishness and sin. I only know my own heart up close, and you only know yours. But based simply on that information, would you dare to disagree with that diagnosis? Climate change hasn't just happened out of nowhere. It's the fruit of our own habitual envy and greed. Racial and social inequality, they're not like laws of nature. They have been caused by our negligence as much as our selfishness. As I said, there are 45 million modern-day slaves today, and if you want to know why, ask this very uncomfortable question. How many of them have touched something that you own? This Christmas, will you look darkness in the eye and trace it all the way back to its source, acknowledging it for what it is, a darkness of our own making? Which leads to my next question. Who do you trust to deliver hope? What hope do you have that humanity's problems can be fixed? Who would you trust to put this world back together and pierce our darkness with light? If you had your pick of the population of the planet, who would you put in charge of repairing our ruptured social fabric? Who would you trust to sort out the climate emergency and the greed that's driving it? Who would you trust to pick apart the web of institutional inequality that entangles our world and the selfishness that perpetuates it? Is there anyone you know or are aware of who could fix the problems out there and the problems in here? What is humanity's biggest problem? And who would you trust to deliver hope? Put another way, what is humanity's deepest darkness? And where do you look for light? As I say, I'd encourage you to ask one another those two questions afterwards. I think that would be a really interesting conversation to have. But for now, let me offer two suggestions from the story of Christmas, because the message of Christmas is a message of light in darkness. And to see that, we need to focus our attention on the baby at the center of the Christmas story. And in particular, I want us to focus our attention on this prophecy that Ruel read for us earlier, a prophecy about this baby from 700 years before he was born. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Why? A few verses later in verse 6, "To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." So first, from the message of Christmas, darkness, because the baby in the manger means humanity is a letdown. If you start to unpack the significance of the Christmas story, you'll realize that it's actually pretty offensive and in some ways actually really dark, especially offensive towards political and religious leaders. Isaiah 9 verse 6, "To us a child is born and the government will be on his shoulders." Isaiah is saying, here's some great news. A baby is going to be born to lead the government. And why is that good news? Because to put it bluntly, humanity is an absolute letdown. Humanity is so completely lacking in morally upright people that our best hope for finding a capable leader is for a baby to be born and elected to high office. Do you see how offensive the Christmas story is? It's a message that says, we try to find a capable leader in parliament, but when it comes to the deepest problems facing humanity, all of them are hopeless. So we made a search of LSE, UCL, Oxford and Harvard. No one. We tried the business and the charity sectors. No one. Then we started thinking outside the box. We made a search of old people's homes and secondary schools. We went out looking in supermarkets and youth hostels, leisure centres, hospices, prisons and music festivals. No one. When push came to shove, even the most promising among them was riddled with ignorance and negligence and selfishness and greed. How could they clean up the world when their own hearts were so badly polluted? How could they fill our lives with light when their lives were brimming with so much darkness? Our last and final hope of finding a capable leader is that someone suitable might be born in the maternity ward of our hospital. How bad must things be for us to look around Parliament and say, let's see if there's any newborn children who'd be up for the job? How bad do things have to be for God to say that a baby is the hope of the world and the government will be on his shoulders? That is the message of Christmas. It's a message that says when it comes to our deepest problems, our leaders are hopeless and we are kidding ourselves if we think we'd be any different. See, it's not just our leaders whose hearts are twisted in on themselves. It's all of us. It's not that our leaders are somehow particularly bad. It's that we have once again made the mistake of electing human beings to the government. The baby in the manger means humanity is a letdown. But second, light. Because the baby in the manger means God didn't give up on us. Humanity is a letdown. Our last hope is a baby lying on its back in a cattle trough. But friends, what a hope that is. Every person that you put your hope in this world will let you down. Every person except one. There is one person who will never let you down, no matter how much you throw at him. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The baby in the manger at Christmas time means God did not give up on us. He did not abandon us to the dark future that we deserved. If the Christmas story is true, then this baby lying on bloodied straw is an apocalyptic inbreaking of heaven on earth. God has come down to put this world back together, to save us from the future that we had created for ourselves and to untwist the wickedness in our souls. There is hope in the darkness because this baby in this Christmas manger means God did not give up on us. When we were walking in darkness, he was born among us. He grew up and taught with burning compassion, advocating for the lowliest and most vulnerable, teaching his followers to do good to their enemies and to love their neighbors as themselves. He taught that his arrival meant that the kingdom of God had come near and that in this kingdom, the last would be first and the first would be last, earning him the scorn of all of the political and religious leaders of the day. But he did not give up. He spent his time with lepers and prostitutes, never once looking down on them or treating them with anything but dignity and care. He never gave up. He was arrested by jealous religious leaders and taken away to be crucified by a cowardly Roman governor, punished for crimes he did not commit, abandoned by his closest friends. But he did not give up. He prayed for the forgiveness of those killing him. He never gave up. He bore the full weight of our selfishness and sin on his shoulders, dying in the darkness that should have been our future without giving up. He was buried in a tomb with a stone rolled over the entrance, but he did not give up. Because 3 days later, he burst out of his own grave. He would not let evil and death have the last word. He did not give up until he had borne the full consequences of human evil and broken the grip of sin and death. He did not give up. He did not let us down. And he invites us to follow him. Do you see why the message of Jesus is such good news? The King of Heaven has come down as a baby to offer us hope in our darkness. With nails piercing his hands and feet, he prayed for forgiveness for you. He rolled away the stone and walked out of his own grave. And as the blood that was shed for you fills the heart that now beats for you, he stretches out hands that were pierced for you and invites you to follow him. The protesters on Regent Street can tell you that the world is a dark place, that the hope of Christmas is a hope that is big enough to cope with global emergencies, near enough to wipe away your tears, and bright enough to make shining angels sing. God has not given up on us. And if you give yourself to him, he will give all of himself to you. His love, his life, his light. His light in our darkness, his love in our loneliness, his hope for our future, and forgiveness for our past. Friends, if it isn't the best news you've ever heard, I have not done a good enough job of explaining it. So two questions. What is humanity's biggest problem? And who do you trust to deliver hope? Which leaves us with one invitation. Will you take a second look at Jesus this Christmas time? Humanity is a letdown, but he has not given up on you. As I close, let me pray. Heavenly Father, this world is big and it is full of problems. There is so much darkness when we look around, but when we look inside, we begin to see that this darkness is of our own making. Heavenly Father, you know better than we do that humanity is a letdown, but you have not given up on us. We praise you that at Christmas time you stepped into our darkness to offer us your light. We pray, would that light brighten our Christmas this year? And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.